he's a big fish. One of the many of the Bhagavati family.
How do we get, maybe we can get an extension of Purim.
If there could be a Dakar as well, if I can.
You know, Kidan?
The one is related to
the
other. Okay, we're holding on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. We had a strange situation yesterday where Rava did something that seemed to be outrageous. He went ahead and he was matner the shkita that was began in the Turba Tzaveshet to Rav Amnon's children, and he went ahead and he said it was definitely treif, Rav Uchman's children, and he said it was definitely treif by putting together two shkitas that were contradictory. He said, well, I'm going to be machmer like Rav, that holds that it's a treif of a mashu. Well, of course, Rav says that it's a kosher shkita, and they're but for that I'll say like Shmuel. But according to Shmuel, then it should be Baruba, but for that I hold like Rav. So then this came ultimately in front of Rav Abba, and he said, well, that's crazy. It's, everybody holds it's kosher. Both Rav holds it's kosher, Shmuel, it's because of different reasons. So he should have to pay up the value of the shor. And then the last thing that we said was that it's even worse than that, because, I mean, we don't want to say it in proper company, but it says that somebody who does that is exiled b'choshech aleich. If he's machmir, like both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, again, this doesn't mean machmir at times like Beit Shammai and at times like Beit Hillel. It means machmir in something where it's contradictory. Like we had the case before of the Kamach Yisorin B'Shidra. We were talking about Bhaskar, and so Kamach Yisorin B'Shidra. So we had over there the machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, whether it's Shtei Chuliot or Chulia Achas, and according to Beit Hillel, it's Chulia Achas when it comes to Tumas Meis, that if it's Chosr, it's not Mitami, that's a Kula. But if we translate that into Treifas, it becomes a Chumra, that even if it's missing Chulia Achas in an animal, so then it's considered to be Treifa. So if somebody would go along and say, well, I'll be Makwer both ways. In other words, I'll be Makwer like Beit Shammai to say it's Tamei in an Oyel HaMeis, and I'll be Makwer like Beit Hillel to say that it's a Chisorin B'Shidra when it comes to Treifas. I mean, that's insane. It's either one or the other. I mean, you can't, there's a problem in the Shidra, there's a problem in the Shidra. The same thing is true over here. If you're telling me that it's B'Mashu, then you're telling me it's the Makam Shkita. If you're telling me it's not the Makam Shkita, you're telling me it's Baruba. How do you put together two contradictory things just to be Makwer? It's absurd. So it sounds like Rava did something that was mommy's stupid. I mean, and that's why we say we don't want to say it. Like klapi sanaya the Rava, should be the enemies of Rava. Okay, so but today, before we get to an explanation of what was really going on in Rava's mind, we said that today we're also going to analyze what appear to be contradictions in the actual brisa, because you'll note that the brisa said le'yoyel amil chasak yedim reveitel. We always pass them like Beit Hillel, but Arotzela, Asot, Kedivrei Beit Shammai, or Se, Kedivrei Beit Hillel, so you make up your mind. If the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So what are you saying? Well, it's up to you. If you feel like doing like Beit Hillel, you can. But you can also do like Beit Shammai. What are you talking about halacha is like Beit Hillel for? So now we're going to first analyze the price. Says the Gemara, isn't Hagufa Kash on the fourth line now on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph? Hagufa Kash. The bride itself is a contradiction. Something's wrong with it. Amrit, first you start saying, Liolam alacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. And then you turn around and say, Vahada Tani, Vaharotze la'asot kedivrei Beit Shammai. Yaseh? What do you mean? If you want to do shaloka alacha, you should do it? And says the Gemara, the meaning of the bride is that it's constructed on two levels in time. Loka, shekan kodem batko. Kan le'achar batko. It was a time in which they were determining whether the Paschim like Beit Hillel or not. And the question over there was an interesting question, that Beit Hillel was Rov. Normally we would say that since the Torah says to follow the Rov, there's no question Paschim like Beit Hillel. The question that they had is, how about in a case where you have a group of people that are in the aggregate significantly more sharp, more their logic is more convincing, so that the Beit Shammai, who were Harifei be Beit Hillel, and smarter than Beit Hillel, and in an argument they could defeat you. So do you still follow the Rov, or in that case do you go according to the one that seems to be more powerful?
Quality or quantity?
Yeah, nothing on. And the Basco came out and said Aloha ke Beit Hillel. Sorry?
In
Yafa. In Yafa. So, before the Basco. So then, in a tsunami, before the Basco, you could say, I wrote Selassar to the Rebbe Bechavel, or to the Rebbe Bechavel, because there was a tzad to follow the rogue, there was a tzad to follow Harife. After the Basco, we say, Le'olam, Halakar Gebet Yilel. Ibaisema, or what you can say, actually, is that the Brisa represents two different shitas about how to relate to a Basco. So we could say, we say Le'olam Halacha Kedivrei Beit Hillel if you take Bat Kol seriously. But if you don't take Bat Kol seriously, then Arotza Lasot Kedivrei Beit Hillel Osa Kedivrei Beit Shamayos, and that would be going according to Rabbi Yoshua. The Akan, it's even after Bat Kol, even after the Bat Kol, it's Rabbi Yoshua Yi. The Yomar, Ein Mashkichin Bat Kol. According to him, we don't pay any attention to a bat kol. Now, there's a little bit of a problem, because the Ein Mashkichin Bat Kol was in the case of Rebbe Eliezer. The famous Meister where Lefvoda, the Rebbe Eliezer, the bat kol came down, and all the other simonim came down to prove that he was right over there. He was not in the rove. And as Tosis points out, in that case, nobody followed the Basco. It wasn't Rabbi Yeshua only. We don't find anybody argues on that, even though it is Rabbi Yeshua. There clearly are two different issues over here. One is where a Bat Kol gets involved in a halachic discussion. There, everybody agrees. Lo Bashamai. There's no place for a Bat Kol to have an opinion. And God doesn't have a vote in these issues. And the other question was over here, which is sort of like a Gilui Milsa, because the Pasuk says, Achrei Ravi. You're the one who wants to come up with maybe there should be a difference, if there's a qualitative difference. For that, the Basco came down and basically said, look, I know what you're talking about. I already said, Achrei Ravi. So there it's just a support of a Pasuk over there. There's a tzad to hold like the Basco. If that's true, then it's not Nogia Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua, when he said, Emashkechim Avatkol, he said it to Rabbi Eliezer. In Mashkechim Avatko. So Tosha says that because of the way that he put it, he said, Lo Bashamayim, is the way he put it at the time, it's Mashre, he's making an over, he's not saying we're not going to be Mashkechim on a Basco where it's in support of a Shita because of the Kvoida Yishal HaShita. We understand that basically, and we've seen this many times, in Tosha it's a theme, that God will do things in support of people, not because that's something he would hold of it. In other words, his position in the world is defined by the way people are in the world. So we found this in the Gemara, we found the story of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was worried that if the rove holds, the rove holds, then God's going to have to, that we should give in to some cares, and then God's going to be on their side. It doesn't mean he holds God would have held that way, but what can you do? That's the psak. Or we find by the Maisa where Tosus asks, how did Aaron and Miriam speak Lashon Hara about Moshe? They heard the Pasuk that says, Vatapo Amodi Madi, and everybody else go back to your tents, you stay here. So clearly he was told not to go back to his wife, which is a tent. So Tosus says, well, they knew that God said that, but they figured he said it because that's what Moshe wanted to hear. It's astonishing. I mean, same thing over here. I understand that. So Basco comes out. So the Basco is in support of Rebbe Eliezer. And if somebody else needs a Basco, come out in support of him. I mean, what are we going to be much get to get? It's not an extra voice. It's just the support of what is. So therefore, we need to say, as the Svara of Loba Shamayim, well, that's a different question. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot intervene. It's not in Yonim of Kovet or something like that. He can't intervene in a determination, actually, in any circumstances. Even over here, where it's just a smichus on a pasuk. Anyway, but getting back to poor Rava. I mean, we've come from Kasha, but I mean, the bottom line is, the Brisa does say that you got to be crazy to be machmir like two people. It's a contradiction. What was Rava thinking? So we have a number of different approaches. We could say, Omar Rav Tavis, Kula Karav Avad. We also, Rami Bar Yefeskel, we know most of the things that we quote Rav as saying are from Rabbi Yehuda. He was the one that had been the Achroi on the Shmuas of Rav. And he said over a lot of Rav's Shmuas, this being one of them. But we know that Rami Bar Yecheskel, the brother of Yehuda, he said, when he came, he said, don't pay any attention to my brother's clothing. They're always mixed up. What Rav did say about this, actually, so we have been quoted Rav Shita by Rabbi Yehuda, in which Rav supposedly said the Veshet is a mokum, the Turbat's Veshet is a mokum of Shita, and therefore it's B'mashu. And that's why we ended up with the contradiction. If you're telling me the only reason that he's saying it's B'mashu is because of the fact that it's the Mokum Shrita, then it's an impossible thing to pass it in both directions because you're contradicting yourself. But the way that Rami Bar Yecheskel quoted Rob is that no such thing. There is, in fact, a limit to the Veshet. It does not go all the way into the Turbetz HaVeshet. Nonetheless, the sheer Turbetz HaVeshet is B'mashu. So in other words, basically all Rav was saying is that you don't make a shinui in the din of treifas, even though it may not be the Mokum Shrita. That's all that he was saying. That you can have a mashu in the Veshet, where it still has a din of Veshet but got the treifas, but it's still not Mokum Shrita. And all that Rav was saying is that over here you shech the chalobah Mokum Shrita. Because Nosrabah HaChamim Shir, there's a limit to how much is considered to be Veshet. Tosis, by the way, points out, one response of this would have been to say, maybe that only means on the bottom. Because we haven't yet spoken about how low the Veshet extends. In other words, at what point does it have a din of keres, and at what point does it have a din of Veshet? We spoke about at what point does it have a din of jaw, and what point does it have a Veshet? That's at the top. So we could have said, well, even though Rami Bar Yecheskel said that, it's no contradiction to what Rav Yehuda said. Maybe Rav Yehuda was talking about the top, and Rami Bar Yecheskel was talking about the bottom. All it says is there's a shear, it doesn't say where the shear is. The Gemara didn't want to answer that because if you just say that it gave a shear, then the mashmaut is it's in both directions. And otherwise you'd have to say, Nasu shear lamala, or Nasu shear lamala. Apparently in both directions was a shear. Which means that not the entire area that's called Veshet Lagabi Trefus is called Shulgabi Shita. And therefore, what Rava was doing was consistent with the Shita of Rav, as it was expressed according to Rami Bar Yecheskel. And this whole discussion that we said before, that we're gonna give you the chumas of this one, the chumas of that one, that was the words we put into Rava's mouth, thinking that he was contradicting himself. But that certainly was not what he was doing. By the way, Tosfos also points out that there's another solution. The other solution he could say is that he was passing like Shmuel, and that indeed the shear should have been Beruva. And the reason that he said it was trait was not because of what we were thinking, that it was because of Ashu and so on. It was trait because it was Higrim Shlish, Veshachat Shnei Shlish, and he'd be going according to the Shita that we were Machmer before, in which at the time that you hit Ruba, it has to be Rov B'Shita, and it wasn't. Because Shlish was already Shalav Mokum Shrita. Yeah, in other words, Shmuel is Lav Mokum Shrita. And that means the Turbetz HaVeshet is Hagroma. It's outside of the Mokum Shrita. So you'll say, okay, but by the time he got to the Simonim, to the Veshet, he was already in the right place. But remember the Shita before that holds, that if you start off the Hagroma, then if at the time you get to the Simonim, you don't have Ruba B'Shrita, it's not kosher. So if it was in that case, maybe that's why he said it wasn't kosher. Not because it was draped since he had made a hole in the B'mashu and the Turbetz HaVeshet. So we do have a number of different ways of understanding Rava that he doesn't turn out to be an idiot. The only reason we don't talk about this answer, instead we take the other answer of Rabbi Bar Yecheskel's change in the approach of Rav, is because of King Elazar. And therefore, we understand that we want to paskin like Rav. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? No.
Just remember that Shmuel was called Elazar. That was his nickname. Anymore. The reason they called him King Elazar was because we always paskin like him, except in Iser. So Elazar is not in Iser. So remember, non-Iser is king. So therefore, we don't want to say Shmuel, because we always pass like Rav Easter, so we took Rav's approach. But we could have taken Shmuel's approach too. Very elf. Elazar is an elf by you. That's your Bikias and Tolkien.
Vey, vey. Oi, oi, oi. Oi, oi, oi. on this. I mean, the whole element of the king, you know. It's terrible. You need a chazorah. You need a chazorah.
I do. Okay.
All right. Continues the Gemara. So we've been talking about the shiur then. In the Veshed Nasabokha Konim Shiur. If that's the case, then the Chalav Turbat Zaveshed Lav Mokam Shchita. The Turbat Zaveshed is therefore not a Mokam Shchita because Nasabokha Konim Shiur. And nonetheless, Kohamar B'mashu, you see that we say B'mashu anyway. And that's what Rav was talking about. Now, what is the shiur? And the shiur, of course, would be both Lamala and Lamata, up by the jaw. We need to know the shiur. Up until what point is it called an esophagus? And down as it enters into the stomach, at what point is it called esophagus? So let's start with lamala, by the jaw. How much is considered to be veshet? Omer of Nachman, ad kidei tfisat yad. You have to be able to have the shiur of a hand holding the esophagus towards the tzad of the jaw. And up until there, it's all called the turbat veshet, but it's not veshet. Now, Rashi says he heard from his Rabbein that Tfisat Yad means just enough to be able to hold on with your fingernails. The problem is, he says, that's not the Lashon of Yad. You could have to say Tfisat, but a Tfisat of a Yad means that you got your hands around it, which is a very big shear, and that would be like three or four etzba'ot, which Tosva says, no, I mean, that seems to be a little strange, because if this is meant to be an overall shear, I mean, there's some animals or some organisms that aren't large enough for the whole Mokum Shchita to be that big. I mean, what are you saying, a bird, for instance? How big is the, where does the veshet begin? I mean, can't possibly say, I've said Tvisas Yad, by that point you're already down in the stomach.
Would have said,
if it was actually in hand, it's a tefach. Would it use the shoulder? Well, no, because tefach is technically four thumbs. It's not necessarily the same. The tefach has a slightly different measurement.
So it would be three or four heads followed, approximately, and Tvisas Yad.
So Tosfos says, if you're going to say Rashi's Pshat, then indeed you'd have to say that this is a shear that's given to a large animal, to a very large animal, and judge from there, prorated in smaller organisms. Yeah, like it
actually brings an eye like that.
What is a shear for?
It couldn't be, because the whole esophagus isn't that big. How could that possibly be the shear of the turbat
zaveshet? So they can be talking about two different ones.
Gemara is talking about the shear for behemoth. Okay, but which behemoth? Large animals, there's small animals. I mean, so there, it does suggest maybe that's for a large ram, which is a giant, or a moose, whatever. Right, but he brings the Bahag, and he says, and this is a very chashuv thing to know, he says that everything that the Bahag says is Divrei Kabbalah. Things that he was Mekabel, Mirabah, and so he doesn't say Mitzad Asfar, and he says that it means the way that someone can hold something with two fingers, not the Tzipor Naim, the way Rashi was suggesting Mirabah. But then in which case, if it's how you hold on to something, then indeed it would be applicable across the board. And lamata ad kama, what's the shear down towards the stomach? How much is considered to be veshet? Omer Nachman Amar Baravua ad kidei shiyas ir, up until the point at which you begin to find cilia in the inside, and that's part of the teres. The teres indeed is lined with cilia, and there already you know that you're in the teres. And once you begin seeing it get turns hairy, then it's the inside of the lumen. Now, the problem with that is that it doesn't make sense according to the following Maimer. Amy, is that possible? V'yamar Ravina Amar Geneva Mishmei Derav Tefach Beveshet Somuch L'Keres Zeo Keres Apnimi. Remember, we had before the Keres Apnimi. We just distinguished between the Keres Apnimi and the Keres Hachitzon in terms of the Nikra and Nikva. The Gemara later is going to define what is called the keres hapnimi and what is called the keres hachitzon. The keres hapnimi, by the way, simply means that it's hidden inside of the upper ribs. So we call it inner, the inner, because it's not exposed directly to the outside of the rib cage. So that tefach in the Veshet, which is near the Keres, at the Keres HaPnimi, which implies, I mean, if you're telling me Akadesh Yassir, so then Akadesh Yassir takes you all the way down to the beginning of the rumen, in a normal animal. So if you're telling me that a Tefach, before that, as you're coming down from the jaw, is already called Keres, so then how could you shecht? If you're going to shecht there, you're shechting in the Keres. You're not shechting in the Veshet. So something's wrong over here. So Amai, how could that be called, according to you, Veshet, if it's part of the Keres? Kika shachat bekeres kashachit. So then when he's doing the Maizah Shmita, he's shechting the rumen and not the esophagus. No. Reverse that. What Geneva said was, Tefach bekeres somuch leveshet is the Keres HaPnimi, not Tefach beveshet somuch lekeres. In other words, the first Tefach of the part that has the cilia is considered to be the Keres HaPnimi. Is it very hot in here?
Well, let's get the lady before that.
So maybe we should open up the door a bit.
Well,
let's
get the
lady
before
we
get to that lower section.
No, as long as it's off in another
direction.
If you're coming down, take a look in your
and
where you are over here. You have the lungs on.
Right.
No, you've got the care. You have two sides, though. Remember, you have to look at what side you're talking about.
Cool.
You shift over here, you're going to hit the lung.
Right.
And you shift over there, you're going to get to the carous.
And
we'll talk about later on pulling out when you pull out the head.
And you'll be able to get to the carous first?
Yeah, sure. What are we going to talk about? You can pull this entire, you pull out the entire bronchi, you pull this out until it's sticking out way, way out of the lungs. In fact, if you take a look at the picture here, here would be the same thing as you pull up. Right?
Oh, wow.
So, in other words, this part on page 44, what's considered to be kone is actually bronchial tubes. It's the main bronchi, except that it's usually covered with the lobes of the lung. But if the animals, we're going to have this case later, that's why this is here. The animal stretches the head, it pulls out the simonim, including the kona, out from the lung. So you can get to these places.
You can get to the stomach.
Also you can do this carefully. You can cut one thing and not the other. You have to cut both of them in the same place.
From all the stuff.
Okay, anyway, clearly it's doable. So, Ibai Sema, where another approach is, Kikoma Rav Betura de Masir Tve. When Rav says until the hairy section, he was talking about in a shore. Ashore, the cilia do extend up the kana, and therefore the only area up the veshet, and therefore only up till the tefach asomuch leperes on the outside, anyway, would be kosher as a veshet, even according to Rav Shiur. So therefore, there was no contradiction to what Geneva said. Omer Avakud Omer Shmuel. Getting back now to the turbat haveshet. Shmuel here is quoted as saying that the turbat haveshet shenital kulo milechi kosher. If you take off the turbat haveshet, detach it from the jaw, then the animal remains kosher. The Tana Tuna, and our Tana actually says that in the Mishnah later, nita lechi atachton kosher. Oh, it looks like we had a robbery.
They had a kiddushia, so they washed it up.
It was here last night.
Nice, yeah.
It's interesting. It was definitely here last night.
Went away with the flower.
Okay. So, nita lechi atachton. If the lower jaw was removed, it's kosher. If the lower jaw is removed, then saying the same thing as the turbat haveshet is not attached to the jaw, obviously. So that's saying the same thing that Shmuel is saying. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Ask a father of Papa. Hold on a second. Isn't that by definition ikur simonim? Ikur simonim means that the simonim are not attached to their mokum chibur. Richie?
Do you mean attached to the chibur?
Detached prior to Shemitah. So here we have exactly that case. Understand? What is Shmuel talking about?
What do you mean, Rav Papa? What is Shmuel talking about? What is the Mishnah talking about? We just showed you it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the lower jaw is missing, if the lower jaw is missing, what is the simonim hanging on? Oh, no, says Rav Papa. There's a big difference between the two. Excuse me. Note the difference between talking about removal of the jaw or talking about removal of the turbat havesha. The difference is very clear. The connective tissue is going to be what you're removing it from, correct? So if you remove the lower jaw, you're leaving the turbat havesha attached to the connective tissue that it was always attached to. That's not ikur simanim. Who said it has to be attached to the jaw? It only has to be attached to the tissue that holds it to the jaw. Because then it's still in its place. But if you're saying you pulled off the turbat havesha, then that means the turbat havesha was detached from the connective tissue, which now remains on the side of the jaw. It's not the same. You say it's the same. It's not the same. So an ikur simonim, I don't get into a problem when I read the Mishnah about removal of the jaw, leaving the turbat havesha attached to everything else, including the connective tissue. But when you talk about the way Shmuel said it, you better watch out how you say something. You talk about the way Shmuel said it, he's talking about removal of the simen from the tissue of the jaw. Now that's ikur simonim. That doesn't make sense. So Bishleim amat nitin l'ruf papalo kash. Another problem with the Mishnah. Ha di i'aker i'akure, v'ha di igum agume mi'ilu simonim. It's a big difference between a simen being taken out of, off of the lechi and its attached skin or connective tissue, whereas there we're talking about where it was peeled off essentially from above the simonim, because you only said that the lechi was removed. You didn't say that anything was removed from the lechi. You said the lechi was removed from everything else. Okay, so that means that you carefully separated off the connective tissue at the bottom of the lechi and took out the lechi. Fine. That's not a problem. Elo l'Shmuel. But the way Shmuel is saying it, that the turbat havesha was removed. Kasha, what are you going to do about this? I mean, he says, turbat havesha shnito kulo milechi kasha. Well, maybe it wasn't kulo. Maybe what he said was rubo. I don't care. Even if he said rubo, it doesn't make any more sense. Because Amar Rabba Bar Barchan Amar Shmuel, Simonim Shinadad Luberuban Treif. I mean, it's Shmuel himself who holds that you don't need Kulo in order to create Ikur Simonim. If the Simonim have been loosened, Berov, it's a Treifa. So even if you were talking about a Turba Tavesh that was Rubo removed, you've got a problem. Ah, Amar Shishabred Ravidi, wait, hold on a second. There's two ways to do this. Ha da Akpilik Pule. Hasem da Afruka Fruke. What Shmuel was talking about when he said Simonim Shinadalto Beruban, where was a case where somebody yanked the Simonim. You yank the Simonim, what happens is, as in such case, we try to detach something that's attached with connective tissue. You tear in various places, and in other places it remains mechuber, like a can with a bad can opener that you've opened, right? Now, that type of thing does not become reattached, because you damage the chibur across the board. Maybe some places where there's still a little bit hanging, that's not going to help you. Over there, it's indeed possible. Because if it's nedavlo from a yank like that, then if rove was detached, forget it. Then for all intents and purposes, they're disattached. But if you're talking about a careful cut that removes the simen from the connective tissue, then, if it's still going to be okay if it's only rove. And therefore, we could answer that Shmuel was talking about rove and not kulo. So if something was afruke, furuke, if it was ripped out, then enochinami, rove wouldn't help you. Next case that we had in the Mishnah was the gargaris. Until now, we've been talking about the veshet, the nikava veshet, then we have psukat hagargaret, tana. Kama psukat hagar, we say, you cut through the gargaret. What is the shiur of that? Beruba. The kama ruba, how exactly do you analyze rove? Because you see, remember that the kana is this ingenious contraption, which basically is the source of the dryer hose, in which you have, as opposed to the dryer hose, you have one area that is thicker with cartilage, the back of which is only connective tissue, right? Remember that only the upper, the tabata gdola, this, by the way, is in an animal, not in a bird. In a bird, there's no difference between the tabot. In an animal, the tabata gdola alone is round, and the rest is horseshoe-shaped. That last loop doesn't prove anything. We've spoken about this.
What was it before?
No, you're supposed to say horse. You're supposed to say
So, what you have, if you look at the animal face on, you're facing its face, you have a thicker kind towards you than you have behind you, right? Because you have the cartilage thickens as it comes around the front. And the question is, do we include that in the robe? In which case, if I do, and I cut through this thing, then I may get the robe, but if I look through the hole, the lumen of the kana, I see that the knife isn't sticking in robe of the lumen. It's only sticking in robe, including the outside. So that's the question. Is robe the robe of the whole is what you mean? Or robe, you mean robe of the whole thing, which is thicker. You have a nice picture? Which is thicker in the front. Yeah, just a beautiful picture. There you go. This is even nicer. So from the front, you see that it's much thicker here. If you go to robe here,
it's
upper...
The neck upside down.
Yeah, this is it from the front. So if you cut through from here, from the top, which is the front of the animal, then the upper blue line would be robe, where it clearly has not gone through robe of the whole. Right? Whereas if you go according to the whole, you'd have to cut through all the way to the second, the lower blue line, but the lower blue line is way past the robe as measured from the outside. So since it's unequal in front and back, we have to define what we mean. The kama rub, huh?
We asked about the
shrikant.
How much of it is
cut? Look at the soles. Kama rub, rab amar rov ovia, va'amila rov halala. So, rab, one lashon is rov ovia, which includes the actual ovi of the tabat. And others say it's the rov halala. Now, Rashi says that some people make the mistake of thinking that we're talking about rov ovia, meaning that we cut through most of the thickness of the kana without ever getting into the airspace at all. He says that's an absurd mistake, because then we would end up having the kana being more chomer than the veshet. Because the veshet, we said, if you only hit one of the membranes, and it's not, there's not a problem. And over here we'd be saying, well, but if there's a hole that passes through some of it, that's a hole. All along we said a hole is only a hole if it goes all the way through. So we wouldn't call it over here a psukas at all. And therefore, we have the pshat that we have. Ahi psukat gagerat atay lekami derav. So there was a case where an animal had been hurt in its trachea. They brought it to Rav to check, and he took out a, what do you call those calipers? Is that what's called a caliper?
You put in and open up an area?
Yeah, it's a caliper, right?
Yeah,
okay. So he takes out a caliper and he measures it berov ovia. He starts from the outside, which is a big chumra, because then even if you didn't get rov of the chalala, it was going to be trace. So, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi told him, Rebbe, well, what are you being machmir like that for? Limadatena Ravinu berov chalala. You were the one who said that it has to be rove of the lumen. Shadri lakami de rabba bar bar chana. So he said, okay, fine, we'll send it. He sent it to somebody else. They sent it to rabba bar bar chana. Rabba bar bar chana indeed was bodek in barov chalala. The akshara, he held it was kosher. And then just to prove the point, he went and bought zavah min adeklez yisrei pshitei bisrei. He bought $13 worth of meat from the I, how could he do that? I thought, we made a, we have a halacha that a chacham that says something is tummy in kavero reshay l'taher, a chacham shasar in kavero reshay l'atir, and how, well, Rav didn't say it was Osir. They just saw that he was going to say it was Osir, and they stopped him in time. So Rav, lo Osir Neser. Rav never said it was Osir. Yeah, but wait a second. I mean, so then it turns out to be a real issue over here. So Kima de Ori Bachocham, Echi Achamina. How did Rav Bar Bar Chana eat that meat? I thought we made a big deal about not eating basar that was Hira Bachocham. Ve'aksiv, Vomar, remember that whole story in Yecheskel where Yecheskel was saying, Aha, Hashem Elokim, how are you asking me to do all of this disgusting stuff? Hine nafshi lo metuma, and we dashed that to mean before, I didn't eat from anything where they were saying, hurry up and check, hurry up before the thing dies. That means, and over here, why it's basar pigul? Because something you had to think about. And your makshav is koveya. It's kashrut. So how did he buy the meat and eat it? Rav Nosson says it means shalom achal to be beimah shalom hun mu matnot teha. Answers the Gemara han emili mil to the talya bisvara. That's only something that is totally in your logic. For Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Gemara is soma. He wasn't figuring this out. Mitzad Asvara, we should look at the Chalala. This is the way he learned the halacha. This is not something that he has to figure out. Hora b'chacha means where it's up to you to see Stadim of Hether, Stadim of Isser, and to weigh it. It's not weighing anything. The information that he has is that the shear of Rov is Rov Chalala. So that's not considered to be a Hora'a, but it's dependent on your own judgment. By the way, this is in general, a serious issue in which people are sometimes machmer above and beyond the halacha. There's even places where it says that someone who doesn't want to be makabel halacha the way it is, refreshes his amin. This is halacha. Where are you coming to? You don't believe in the way that halacha is fasting. So if an Arab says something is mutter, you've decided it's also. What right do you have to be masmer on such a thing? It seems that you're denying the halachic process. Oh, so it's a question. Some learn that if you want, for some reason, for your own chassidus on a personal level, you feel you need chizik in this issue. It's not that you're saying that that's the halacha. That's for sholem. You recognize it's entirely kosher, it's entirely Torah, whatever. But for your own needs, you have to be machmer. That's not your own tikkun, and that's not a contradiction of the halachic process. But in a finami, you're going around and saying, I hold it straight. So then you're like a zaken mamre. So then it's an inyan of minus. The others say it depends exactly, you know, this type of thing. Is it a machlokes? Will we just be semech on maybe a suffix rabbon and those type of things? But it's a major issue. It's not so posh that you have a right to go around being machmer. And that's of course, this sugya. Well, what's the problem of eating from the behemoth or about chacham? Chacham looks at it, he says, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, it's kosher. What, you're going to say, no, it's not kosher. I want to be machmer. There's a halachic process. To kosher yerucha. I mean, are you going to be mechayish or miyat of Sanhedrin also? You'll be a mzaken mamre. Even the person who's a member of Sanhedrin, if he says, well, I don't want to accept the role, you kill him. So what right do you have for somebody not to go around denying halacha?
How is that different from the chumrah of glatt meat?
We'll get to the glatt meat issue. Fine. So anyway, over here. I would never. Of course. That's what I'm saying. Fine. So over here he's being semek on his Torah. On his Gemara, I mean. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. It's kosher. But it's not very nice for you to say something's kosher and then go and buy the meat. I mean, you know, it looks like maybe you're being paid off by the butcher. I mean, maybe he's giving you a good deal. Maybe he says, well, Rabbi, you make it kosher and we'll make a deal. So, I mean...
Deal or not at this point, but this is not something like you're getting
doesn't it? Take away Mishum Choshoda. The Tanya Dana Tadin, somebody who passes a law, he's Mizakeh's TA. Let's say, he says to one guy, the field is yours. The next thing we find out, he's got a contract on it. Oh, my God. Or Timei V'tiher, or Asar V'yitir. He says, that's kosher. So, V'chena Eidim, She'idim. Eidim are made something. This guy owns this house. Then one of the Eidim goes and he buys the house off of him. Kulam Rishayim Lika. Meikar Adin. They have a right to buy. The Chachamim say it's a good idea to stay away from Martha Stewart type issues. Even though she certainly should not be Hayeved. But you get yourself into trouble. Doesn't look good. Who will get it? No. What do you mean? For money, people do anything. So Hani Milin needed a Mazmin Mishuma, but it's only ugly if you're not paying full price. You may have a special deal. But Alchemetaklamuchach, over here instead. The butcher puts it on the scale. The scale lights up with the amount of money that it costs. And it's, where's the special deal? Why would anybody be cautious? So that there's nothing to be afraid of. Mahika, what are you worried about? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. The rabba, like we have a case, I should say, Rav over here, Shora Trefas, and the Zav Amino Bisra. Rava said that something was mutter, and he goes and he buys meat. So, of course, his wife, that's how we know it's Rava, he was married to Rav Chista's daughter. You know, when you marry a woman like that, they're always comparing you to their dad. I can tell you. So she said to him, I don't know, my dad was once Matar of Bukhar and he wouldn't eat it. He wouldn't buy any of it. Abashari Bukhra Velozav Amine Bisra. We say, you're Matar Trefa, and then you go and eat the meat. Doesn't smell right to me. Omar Laz, her husband told her, listen, honey, Mili Bukhra, that's a Bukhar. A Bukhar, you're not allowed to sell by weight. So over there, it's the Ashuma Mizdavan. Over there, a Bukhar indeed. You see, you can't just take what your dad does without understanding it. It's very dangerous. So over there, since a Bukhar can't be weighed.
This is why you married him in the first place. He troubled
him. That's true, too. So he's relying on estimates. So, I mean, over there, the guy can give you a good estimate for the right sack. But over here, I'm buying on the scale. Everybody sees. That's why I report exactly how much money he spent on it. And Mike, what are you going to say? Maybe he's giving you the best portions that otherwise he would have saved for somebody else. Nah. Call your mom to my Yosef. They always give me the best portions. Anyway. That's part of my position. Chief Rabbi gets the best portions. So now the Shaila about the price I pay is like everybody else. Ezeru Talmid Chacham. What is considered to be a Talmud Chacham? Tosfos says Lagabe the din of giving him back his aveda if he can identify it, but without simonim. So it's called Tviya Zayin. Normally we say, okay, it's very nice that you know it's yours. How do we know it's yours? But a Talmud Chacham will give him back an aveda based on Tviya Zayin. What is that type of Talmud Chacham? Haro etre falatzmo, a guy who looks at an animal and is willing to suffer a loss. And he's certainly not going to want to take anybody else's money if he's ready to paskin tarfus, not seek out somebody to find a heifer. Okay, it's straight for Kiyinto. The Omer of Chista, Ezel Sonem Matanot Yechyeh, who is a Sonem Matanos, who will live at somebody's Aroa Trefli Atzma. He could have found somebody to give him a gift. Rely on this in the Shita. No, he doesn't. Dorash Marzut Mishmeg Rav Chista Kol Mishikorei V'Shoneh. Anybody who's learned Tanakh, has learned Mishnayis, V'Roa Trefali Atzma, is willing to take a loss right where it hurts. V'Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim. And he knows, after learning from Talmidei Chachamim, how to understand things and answer kashas and so on. Allah HaKatuv Omer Yagia Kapecha Kitocha Ashrecha V'Tovlach. Obviously, a person like that is not going to take anybody from anybody else ever that isn't deserving it. Rav Zvi Omer, it's better than that. Yizokh Menochel Shnei Olamot. You can't have real good in this world. What could possibly be good? It's all, anyway, headed to the grave. So, Tovla, that's the Olam Haba. You can have some happiness in this world once in a while.
If we had this Gemara elsewhere without the
Roya Treyfus, we would have been again, I should. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Rabbi Elazar, speaking of Sone Matanot Yefiyah, Rabbi Elazar, when they would send a gift from the Beit Hanasi to Rabbi Elazar, he refused it. Lord Shakya. But, if they would invite him to a meal, he refused to go. And his response was always, look, you don't want me to live, what are you trying to kill me? So inviting me to a meal is sending me a gift is murder. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, when they sent him something, Meshadri or Sharki wouldn't accept. But when they invited him, he would go. But Yavi Mizanele Avi Azul, he would go. Omar, he said, of course, the only reason they're inviting me is because my presence adds dignity to the meal. So basically, they're paying me for my presence. Is Yakuri Hudim Is Yakrubi. They're being honored by my presence. That's a fair exchange. So that's not called Tzoni Matanos Yefi. Oh, I think because we... No, just the opposite. I think because we have to meet tonight, and this is a rather long doc, perhaps we should add another few minutes here, unless we have momentum, or you guys are a little too antsy. Are we antsy? Huh? Let's monish this minute? Yeah, they're late. They're always late. Omer of Yudamara. Nikva kenapa mitstarfim l'rupa. If you have holes that are made the way a sifter has holes, in other words, you don't have any particular large hole. You have a lot of small holes. If you add all those punctures up, what, you got a picture of that too?
It's just
holes. Okay. What would we do without the experts?
Showing it as a band.
No, that's later. That's not a case, if that's what it's true. Mitztarfim l'ruba, then you can add up those holes and see if you've got rows. But if they had all been one open into the other, it would have been sliced most of the way through. So then they're mitztarfim. We don't say, well, you don't have any place where it's really sliced. You just have a lot of holes. Now, the problem is, most of Rav Yirmiyah points out that this doesn't seem to be the case. Because if we talk about a gogolet sheyeshba nekev echad aroch, or afilo yeshba dekavim harbe, mitztarfim lomolei magdeya. The halacha is that we know, this was in the same sugya that we had before by Kama Chisaron b'shigra the machlokes. We have also the question about the skull, which would be metame be'oel. And the question is, if this guy was the unfortunate victim of a brain operation, what would be missing from the skull to not be metame in an ohel? So there is the shear that the Chama uses there is a brain surgeon's drill. In other words, the size of a hole that is the normal drill that brain surgeons would use. If that much is missing from the gogolet, it's not metame ba'ohel. Now it says over there, if there's a lot of smaller holes, and they would add up to mole magdeach. You could add the holes together until you have a hole the size of a mole magdeach. Now what do you see from there? Alma, given the shiura mole magdeach, the mole magdeach mitztarfim, the shear of a missing piece of skull. Is Mole Magdea. What is the shear of a missing piece of Kanan? An Isser, as we'll see later on. not ruba, which is psuka, but rather missing. We'll be finished in a few minutes. You're welcome to join us. Your presence is always appreciated. So why don't we say Achinamik even the shiura ke'isr? Since the shiura of a hole in the kona is the size of an isr, the shiura should not be the rove, it should be the size of an isr. What is an isr? And you say, put the holes together and see if you got rove. Ah, this isn't a question. I'll just have anything. What don't you get?
Why?
Majesty, just go straight through into her royal majesty's chamber. We're going a little bit further on the Daf Yomi today to make up for tonight. Leave it, it's okay. A little bit of air never hurt anyone. Yeah, what's the problem? We have a similar case where you have smaller holes that are mixed up to a large hole. Mm-hmm. The shear that we use over there is not the distance, it's rather the area. The area that's missing in a kona to be a trefa would be the size of an isr, and you're doing it as if we have to analyze a slice through. Slice through is barov. Says the Gemara, but it's completely different cases. He didn't know that the issue over here is that there's two types of holes. There's a hole where there's actually missing material. If there's missing material, that's chisaron. That's not psuka. So the karen sheyesh ben chisaron mitzdarfen lekiyisar sheein ben chisaron mitzdarfen laruba. A hole that indeed is missing, then we take a look at the area. How much is missing? The shear therefore would be an iser because that's the area that's missing. If you're taking a look at a hole in the sense of the tissue's been pushed to the side, like it would have been in a psuka, then you analyze it in a psuka. And a psuka is beruba. And he was talking about a psuka. Amar Rabba Bar Bakonam Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, nitlaim in a ritsu'ah, mitztarefet l'kisur. When we talk about the area of an iser, we mean the area. We don't mean necessarily a round space. That's the iser, the shape of an iser. We mean what is the area of a circle whose size is the size of an iser. Take that area and make it any way you want, even if it's a long thin flat. It's still going to be a chisaron of an iser, even though you'll say, well, it didn't reach across the same distance. That's irrelevant. How about if it was nikva kinapa mab? What about if there were holes in it like a sieve? Amarle, what do you mean, what about? We just said, if there's something missing in the hole, then it's the same size as that we said before, which is an iser. If it doesn't have anything missing in each hole, how about in a bird? A bird, it can't possibly be an iser. The whole darn thing isn't the size of an iser. So, the ofma, the ufama. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, I'll tell you, the didim b'farshim minei Rav Elazar, I was given a pirush by Rav Elazar, a very interesting pirush, mikaplo, which two is, you cut around the entire area where the holes are, so that you have the smallest possible area that incorporates all of these holes. Then you take that flap and you fold it over the windpipe. If it's menicha pikana, in chofed rova kana, if it covers, if the flap covers most of the kana, I don't know why we need a picture for this, it's rather obvious, but if the flap will cover most of the lumen, then it's considered to be a trefa. And if not, imlach shera omar of papa, the way to remember this is very simple. Napya. How do you normally make a sieve? A basket weave. You take the sides, you fold them over. Exactly. He asked you, what's the shear of a napya? And he answered you, a napya. Fold over the sides. How do you like that? Cute. You'll never forget this one. Okay.
Sometimes we're beyond the envelope, it's on the table.